Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Off Market with Adam Stern, a real estate show. This is going to be our first podcast, and I wanted to talk about the core name of this podcast, which is Welcome to the Off Market, because this show is all about how to broker, how to buy, how to sell, how to exist in this thing called the off market, as opposed to going on market. And there's a lot to know when you're doing either brokering, buying, and selling in any asset class. You know, what I do, my specialty is single family rental portfolios and build for rent projects. That just happens to be my specialty in this place called the off market. But people transact in all kinds of real estate, including multifamily, industrial, retail. All kinds of real estate are bought, sold, and brokered in the off market. And there's something really special about being a broker, especially someone that knows what he's doing. And if you are this kind of broker that can exist in this place called the off market, like, sky's the limit. You can make tons of money. You can have a really fruitful, really great career simply doing the things that you need to do to be successful in the off market. That's a lot of what we're going to be talking about on this podcast in perpetuity. But I thought, instead of me explaining my view of what the off market is versus the on market, I thought I'd invite an on market specialist, a realtor that is a profession where you take an asset and you put it on the market on this thing called the MLS. I've got with me Connor Sullivan. He runs the Connor Sullivan team, which is a real estate brokerage team and lending team in one of my favorite markets around the country, Charleston, South Carolina. Connor, I appreciate you being with us, man. How you doing?
It's good to be here. Great, thank you.
Good. So, like, we're gonna play off each other here, because you built your career and your business on listing and selling homes on a marketplace called the MLS, which is where every realtor basically lists and sell their assets, right? I made my career finding assets to sell and then creating a market for those assets and doing it off market. So I want to have kind of the other side of the coin here, where I can talk to you as an on market specialist and I can give you my side of things as being an off market specialist. Right, that makes sense?
Yeah, great.
So, curious, you're a realtor, right? You run a team that are real estate agents that take listings and put them on the MLS. Is that right?
Correct. As well as representing buyers, yes.
All right. So give me a sense of, like, how you look at your role in finding assets to list, what that process is of listing, and what your experience is in doing this very passive thing in my mind, which is essentially list them on a marketplace where buyers come to you, they can see all the information about the assets. Like, what is that profession all about?
So we use the MLS for essentially all of our business. So that's the, you know, you're walking in a grocery store, you're walking down the aisle. Essentially, that's what the MLS is for us. It's the inventory. It's everything that we see there. Now, the MLS is only working if agents, listing agents or buyer's agents, listing agents such as myself, are putting properties up there. So to find a client and to list a property there, we're having to work through not only multiple online sources of lead generation, but marketing through social media,
right,
network, our sphere of influence, therefore getting the listings to list there.
Got it. So your mode of operations is you got to find listings. So you do marketing to go out there and find home sellers or to get your hands on home sellers that want to list their property. And you have a process, I'm assuming, a listing presentation, a value proposition. You take them through that process. And then once you have that asset, your next step is, like, you know, obviously part of that process is listing it for an appropriate price. Getting a listing at a good price, I'm assuming, is like one of the top goals of any good listing agent. Do I have that much right?
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, once you have the asset, you're bringing it to the MLS. And what's your expectation when you bring it to the MLS? Like, in a hot market like we have right now, there's time to upload it. And kind of what's your expectation for how that listing, if it's a well-priced listing, will perform on the MLS?
In the market we are currently in now, my expectations are for it to be sold within 24 hours.
Right.
And that's just what we've seen the past year and a half with such low inventory. However, there's a lot of things that a listing agent has to do in order to make sure that happens. If you overprice your listing,
okay,
you're not going to get any showings. It's going to sit stagnant.
Right.
So not making sure that the photography is right, the price is set right. And then, yes, my expectations are for very quickly showings to be scheduled from buyer's agents because they're seeing that new listing. We list on Thursdays if we can, mm-hmm, so that way we have some time for potential buyers to contact their buyer's agents, get the showing scheduled for the weekend, and by Monday morning, we hope to have that under contract.
And are these buyers that you're finding like relationship based, or are they generally buyers you don't know that are just basically finding you on the MLS and buying inventory from you?
It depends on which perspective. From a listing agent, we have no relationship. They're usually working with their buyer's agent already when they come into contact mm-hmm. with us. But other than that, we get tons of calls just from people searching on Zillow, Realtor.com that are complete strangers but see that listing. We have the value that they're looking for. So then they reach out. We build that relationship from a complete stranger just because of the content that we provided.
Right. So this is where kind of I'll explain my view of on market versus on market, because you go out there, you run a process, you find owners, you find sellers, you go through a process to list the property, which includes pricing. But once that's done, you're bringing it to this marketplace where all the information of the home is readily available to anyone that can find the marketplace, which is the MLS, which is super easy to find because you can go to any site under the sun, including Zillow, Trulia, Redfin, Homes.com. But it's a very passive, to my mind, it's a very passive process. Once you have the asset and it's priced correctly and it's packaged correctly, you're letting the marketplace essentially do the work for you. And then once the marketplace does its work in terms of finding you a buyer, then your skill set kicks in again with doing the negotiations, taking it through the transaction and the closing. I want to draw a parallel to what the off market is, because as opposed to the on market where it's a very passive thing where all the information is readily available, in the off market, I have to know you and you have to know me in order for me to get my hands on an asset, right? It's, to a certain extent, it's very much based on your network connections. So the more people you know in the off market, the more opportunities you'll see and the more opportunities you'll get to price and package and process. But on the other side of things, since you don't have a marketplace, I mean, my experiences in packaging and pricing SFR portfolios, they don't fit on the MLS, right? Another thing I do is build for rent projects. They certainly don't fit on the MLS, and they're not really tailor-made for other platforms like CoStar and LoopNet and all that. So like, I'm in the truest sense of the word an off-market specialist in that I gotta have a program to attract owners and sellers to me. I've gotta know how to process that, including packaging and pricing. But after I have this nicely packaged, priced opportunity, whether it's a build for rent or whether it's an SFR portfolio, I now have to go and find what I call making a market, figuring out who I know that could be a potential buyer for that. And if I do my job okay, I'll find one buyer for it and hopefully negotiate a price that works. If I do my job really well, I know enough people that will compete for that asset where I can actually expose that asset to like on market forces. So I don't have a marketplace, but what I have is enough network connections to compete for my listing as long as it's well priced and well packaged. So to me, like the antithesis of the on market experience, which is passive, is the off market experience, which is like, I'm a wolf out here in the world and I gotta do everything myself, including finding the seller, packaging, pricing it, and then making a market for it on the other end. It's a very active engagement. You know, I have to know both sides of the transaction, because if at the end of the day, I can package and price and process and get a really good listing, but I don't know any buyers, where the hell am I gonna bring it, right?
Sure.
And that's that to me is the crux of what this podcast is all gonna be about. You're an on-market specialist for residential homeownership kind of properties, and you use the marketplace called the MLS to sell your assets. If you were a multifamily guy, you would have other marketplaces to bring it to, CoStar, LoopNet, 10X. There are marketplaces designed to help you sell that asset. What really interests me is like, there's no rules to this thing in the off-market. Like, there's no one that tells me this is how commissions should be structured. There's certainly laws and regulations about how I need to be licensed to do this, but no one tells me how to price it, what information I need to collect, how it should be presented, how it should be engaged with a buyer, you know, in what way I should engage buyers. It's all up to the market participants to decide what's the right way to get a opportunity transacted on. And that's totally different than the on market where, and I'll ask you this, like the rules and regulations and like how you got to adhere to the MLS's rules really defines a lot about your business, right? Did it take you a long time to understand how the MLS worked and how you got to work within the confines in order to really leverage that marketplace to make it fruitful for you?
Yeah, there's a pretty long list of rules that you need to abide by for the MLS as far as how long you have between when an offer comes in, when it's accepted, to marking it active contingent, to how long you can even market a coming soon listing. There's just, there's tons of guidelines that you need to abide by there to fall in with the MLS, or otherwise you're going to start getting some fines.
And that's like informational stuff, like processing stuff. You know, we haven't even talked about the brokerage rules that surround like on-market MLS. Like usually on the market through the MLS, the listing agent takes the commission from the seller and he offers out a co-broke to the buyer's agent. And it's a very well-defined commission split. In the off-market, there is no rules, right? So, you know, it's up to the brokers, if there are two brokers, on how, who's paying for the commission, how that commission shared, who's bringing the value to the transaction to define who's getting paid what. And that's always an interesting thing when I talk to brokers, where a lot of times brokers bring me a portfolio. They don't know how to deal with it because it's a portfolio and they usually sell houses. So there's like, you know, me acting almost as a listing agent that is working right beside the listing agent to tell them how to process and price it. I then have to go out and get a buyer. So like, I'm obviously going to make the buy side fee, but how that's structured and how the commission is done is really up to the off-market participants to figure out. And that's what kind of makes it so interesting and exciting, because if you're a really good broker working with a broker that doesn't really know much about the off-market, you can run circles around them, right? And if you're not an honest guy, that broker that doesn't know what he's doing can get really gypped at the end of the day. I've seen it time and time again. People bring deals to me, and the first thing I'm like, here's how we're going to do the commission structure. If it's going to be a referral fee, I tell him exactly what it is. If it's going to be a co-broke, I explain to him exactly the value that I expect him to bring to the transaction in order to earn that full co-broke, as opposed to like what you do, where like it's set and done. Like, you know, you're making half the commission, the listing agent's making half the commission. If you get it referred to, you're paying out a referral fee. Like, I guess my question for you is there any malleability in how the commission is structured in the on market versus, you know, what my experience is in the off market?
It's pretty much a set thing for the on market, anything in the MLS. There is no set commissions because that violates our rules there.
Right.
But typically what I look at, I see 2.5% out to a buyer's agent, 2.5% to the listing agent, right, or 3% is pretty much the cap of what we see there. But yeah. Yes, it is pretty much cut and dry and very repetitive as far as the commissions that we see.
Yeah, and the market usually sets the commission rate. So like in Charleston, for example, you said that, you know, a commission's generally, the market commission is what, 5%, and it's split 2.5 and 2.5, is that right?
Between 5 and 6 is what we typically see, yes.
It's funny, like in my end of things with SFR portfolios and built for rent projects, people expect certain commission structures, but I've seen, you know, as much as like 10% for land, 6% for big projects, all the way down to a broker just asking for 1% because they want to get paid something, right? Because there's not a very well-heeled, ubiquitous market for what I sell, you know, there's the gamut of what brokers end up charging ends up being a wide array of, a wide swath from like a percent all the way to like 10%. And it has to make sense for the deal. It'd be a very comfortable thing if everyone said, hey, this is what market is. We know it's going to be 5%. We know that it's going to be a split between the two agents. But like, again, when you're in the off market, there's no rules to this thing. No one's telling you when you're in a transaction what the hell to do, because there's no one to call, right? It's the off market. I appreciate your insight. I wanted to make sure that I was talking to someone that really knew how to navigate on market, because, and I'll kind of leave with this thought, I think the opportunity for a broker that does different kinds of real estate, including like SFR portfolios, build for rent, multifamily, industrial, like they have a choice as to whether to go on market with something, in which case everyone gets an equal shot at it. Market forces are at work, versus like what very often happens in the off market, where I've got certain buyers that I have relationships with, and I know that they'll likely be the most aggressive buyers for a certain asset. So I get to pick and choose what buyers I end up showing it to. And a lot of that has to do with past performance and reputation, right? So like, if I work with a broker or a seller or a buyer, and my experience is they give me the runaround, they're not really sure about what they want to do, they can't make decisions, you know, it doesn't result in a transaction, that reputational harm that happens in the off market is like detrimental, right? If you have any detriment to your reputation of being a solid broker, a solid buyer, a solid seller, it really inhibits your ability to get deals done. As opposed to, like, I know dozens of buyers that, like, when I send them a deal, they know it's for real. They're right there with the analysis. They're right there with an offer within a few days. I know when they make an offer, it's a real offer that has real money behind it. I know that they know how to transact on it. And you don't get that kind of, like, carte blanche to pick and choose who you work with on the on market. You could do it in the off market because it's all about network connections, right? And the on market, like you said, you don't know what broker's bringing your next buyer, what the buyer's reputation is, what their history is of jerking, you know, sellers around. You kind of just got to trust that you got to go through maybe one or two buyers in that process to get to a transaction that's actually going to close. But luckily, we're in a hot market and the buyers know how to act, and they know when they get their hands on a good piece of real estate, they got to close it or else someone else is going to scoop it and buy it out from under them. And that seems to be kind of the position you got to take as an on-market specialist. You know, you just got to do your job with pricing, packaging, marketing it, and getting it on the MLS and knowing how to transact once the offers come in.
Sure. And we're relying on verification of assets, pre-approval letter, and it's more so the reputation of the agent they're working with or the reputation of the bank if they are financing. And that's how we can bring reputation into that. But other than that, yeah, they are complete strangers that are coming up and buyers are coming up that we've never done business with before.
Yeah. So where the off-market parallels the on-market is, you got to know how to talk to sellers. You got to know how to find sellers. You got to know how to price and package and process, right? Same thing with the off-market. It diverges where there's no place to put assets in the off-market. You got to find your buyers, got to make your market versus the on-market, which is you just post it on the MLS and then it does the job for you. But where it comes back together again is your understanding and how to actually take a buyer that has an offer on the table, get them through the contract process, get them through the due diligence process, and then the closing process. Same thing on the other end, on the off-market. You got to know all those things really well, because it would be a shame, an utter shame, and this has happened, if you get it all the way through contract and due diligence and you don't know how to do something like how to have a retrade conversation and a price reduction conversation in a way that keeps the deal together, right? So there's similarities, but there's a lot of differences that, you know, I would invite any broker, buyer or seller to have a conversation about what they think the difference is or what the value is that they bring to a transaction in the off market. Because it's like the Matrix. You know that scene in the Matrix where the guy fights the other guy? He's like, you don't really know the other guy until you fight with him, you know? Sure. In the off-market, you don't really know someone until you do a transaction with them. And that's what I find so interesting about off-market sales and brokering and buying and investing. You get to know people really well, who they are, how honest they are, how forthright they are, and what their intelligence level is to get through a transaction. So just my thoughts on the off-market. Any closing thoughts? Tell the audience like who you are, where they could find you.
Sure. Yeah. Connor Sullivan. I run a real estate team running residential properties. We're in Charleston, South Carolina. And our team handles buying, selling, as well as the lending aspect of things. So helping our clients achieve pre-approval. So that way it makes the whole process easier, a one-stop shop.
Very cool. Connor Sullivan team at Brand Name Real Estate in Charleston. I appreciate you being on the show. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the first podcast of Welcome to the Off Market with Adam Stern, a real estate show. If you like the content, wherever you're watching, please hit that subscribe button. We're going to be on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, a bunch of different platforms. Again, if you like us, hit the subscribe button. Thanks a lot for watching.